That way I could just
sleep. Blog Talk Radio.
I didn't have it on YouTube. That's why I wanted to.
We're about to take it back.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Tommy Andrew Lee on the radio. Dr. Joe's therapy on the radio. The love got me going high on the radio. Two mics and a mind on the radio.
Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Radio, radio, turned up on the radio. Two mics and a mind.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Two Minds and a Mind. Please join us on StreamYard. Look in the link, and you will see how to join us live. We would love to hear from you on there. Hold on 1 second. We'll be right with you. Welcome to Two Minds and a Mind. I am Tuli, one of your hosts, and I'm drawn with the other host, the Love Doctor. How you doing tonight?
You know what, Tuli, why do you call me the Love Doctor? I'm just curious. Why do you call me that?
Because it's on screen. Not because you have love and you know, you're the doctor of love. You have, you know.
Tuli, ain't you the one that gave me that name?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just curious, you know, oftentimes people give names. I'm just curious, why did you give me that name?
It's just a glimmer of hope.
A glimmer of hope. Well, I appreciate the glimmer.
Yes.
I definitely appreciate it. How you even going, girl?
Everything has been well. I've been doing a little different things, you know, here and there. But, yes, everything is, I have no complaints.
Anything special or, shall I say, out of the ordinary?
Let me see. What happened out of the ordinary today? This week? No, not. I got to think of, I guess, as we can talk, continue to talk, I might think of something. But right now, I can't remember.
Oh. Well, I see we got Resident Joe up here. What's up, Resident Joe?
Hey, girl.
Hello, guys. How's everyone doing?
Oh, listen, I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. I'm looking good. What more can I say?
I can't.
I changed the background. I ended up trying to change, you know, the background temporarily. What I've been doing is I'm leaning on I got back support for my back and all that stuff. I've been spending some time doing a little construction work and all that stuff. It's been turning out real good.
That's what happened. The bathroom caused that.
Hey, listen, the bathroom, we are at 90% completed.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Did you take a picture?
And it's not going to fall apart.
I ain't take no picture.
Oh, gosh.
Because at 90%, y'all might as well just wait till we 100% complete. Then I'll show y'all on a tour.
Okay.
This right here is something that I decided to take on and do a lot of myself. A lot of this stuff, I had a knowledge on how to do it.
Yeah.
It's just always about the time and all that stuff. This right here is just a little task. I was like, you know what, let me just take it on myself, a little here, a little there, a little. You know, if I want somebody else to do it, I bring, you know, over a special trade or something like that. But
you heard Tony last week.
Oh, you know what, as a matter of fact, I may have a bathroom bash party. You know what? That's what I might do. I might have a house party just to showcase the bathroom. Tula's been to my house party before. Tula, tell them about the house party.
Yes. You used to throw great house parties. You just gave us the
spouse.
Yeah,
we love you.
Yes.
Listen, when
but,
I
no, it was
house
just
party,
because he didn't do the other stuff.
Down the block, down the street, everywhere.
We used to come there a lot. But
on
that's all he did was
basis.
The
on
hostess.
Basis.
He was just
the
host. That was it. No other work was done. Just hosting.
You know what? You know what? I might have to throw a new. I might have to have a house party for the unzip.
Right.
Have
it in a week.
Yeah.
Hey.
Finish in a week. That's right.
And you know what? You know what? We at 90% right now. So that's very well possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That is very well feasible indeed.
I'm looking for
just relaxing though. You know, just if anybody, you know, if I can do it, then y'all can do it too. And the whole purpose of me doing this is because I know there's some kids out there that's watching right now that want to do their own bathroom. And I'm doing this. I'm suffering through this whole process for those kids out there. If I can do it, then you can do it too. This one's for you, kid.
But I will say, it is great that you, not only that you have the talent, that you believe yourself, but the fact that you took the time. Because we can always get wrapped up in it, anything. So you carved out this time and said, boom, no, I'm going to focus on doing that. So I applaud you for that.
Even if it's back and forth.
My back is not hurt. It's more so along the lines of I have a massage therapist, and she's been out. She has me spoiled. She's supposed to get me on a routine basis.
Oh, wow.
So she has been out the entire month.
What?
She don't start back until October.
Only
a couple of days from now. So I already got me an appointment where she got to take care of me or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because these hands. You know, it's been a lot going on. These cuts and scratches.
She don't do that, though. Massage therapists don't do scratches and cuts.
You know what? And speaking, if y'all can see that. Can you see that cut?
Yes, we can see that. Yes, we see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do say that, you know, men have to have their hands rough, and they do say that, so.
Right there on the knuckle.
Maybe somebody calls in.
Y'all see that right there on the knuckle?
Yes, we see that.
Yeah, I've been having to get it done. We've been getting it done. But you know what? Let me tell you something. I need to say this publicly. About a week ago, I had the absolute worst splinter in my finger. Oh, it was so troubling. Oh, my goodness, it was so troubling. Listen, let me tell you something. Because I work in that bathroom, I end up getting a splinter. Let me tell you something. Oh, my sleep, oh, the pain, the agony. I was trying to find somebody to call, somebody who come through in the fourth quarter. Did you know Tula came through in the fourth quarter?
Of course she did.
She came through. Tula, how is it? At the right time, her timing be on point. You know what I'm saying? When you need her. Sometimes you can't find her, but when you need it, it's critical. Bam, she right there for you. And she got the right supply. Tula, how was you able to make that happen, Tula?
Tweezers, number one, having tweezers, that's number one. He was so scared. Oh, Resident Joe. He was so scared. His whole hand was shaking. He didn't realize. He was so scared. I was like, oh, my gosh, but I didn't want to bring attention to it. But he was so scared. I had to hold his hand with pressure just to get that little bit of spinner out. He was so afraid. He was so nervous. But I understand. That's what I'm here for.
Julie.
That's what I'm here for, apparently.
Because people try to hurt me, you know what I'm saying, my whole life.
Trauma.
People, they see the handsomeness, and when they see the handsomeness,
you always ruin it. It's like it starts really good, and then it's just like...
He can't keep going.
It's kind of like the bathroom. It collapses. You start really good.
Oh, you got dope. Jokes about the bathroom. Oh, that's good. That's
you
good.
Start
that's
so
good.
Good, though. And then you just mess it up.
That will be
but
when
speaking of messing stuff up, you about to mess stuff up, too, ain't you?
What?
Yeah, when I go to Georgia.
Joe, don't you got an announcement that you're going to make this show?
I am going to make an announcement. I'm going to make an announcement with you together. We're going to make it today. Today is the day.
So for those people who didn't get to join us last week, what we challenged Dr. Joe to do is we challenged Resident Joe to always make certain she can come up with these little sayings. She came up with these sayings last week. She came up with some sayings last week, and she had a saying at the beginning of the show, but she also said at the end of the show. And it was so good that I said, you know what, we got to get you to do another one. So So I'm hoping that this week you'll have another good stay. Why are you looking so surprised there, Resident Joe?
Life is like a, life is like a blister. If you don't take out that hurt or that stick in your life, you are not moving forward without pain. There's the trauma in your life. Blister. The trauma is a blister. You got to stick it out, take it out so you can walk freely. And people can help you, like Tuli. Therapists help you. There you go. That's my saying for today.
Seek therapy. To sum it up, seek therapy.
Life is like a blizzard. Just go to Dairy Queen and get the strawberry.
With chocolate.
Ew.
Speaking of blizzards and chocolate, y'all know what's going on in Florida right now, right?
Yeah.
That's not speaking
anybody
of a blizzard.
Got relatives in Florida?
I do.
Oh, what about your people?
Talk to my people.
And what, are they good?
Yeah, they good. Right now, they're out of electricity. They don't have electricity. So, when I talked to my mom earlier on the cell phone, it was just a real quick conversation because she's trying to preserve her battery life for her phone. You don't know when the
right.
It's going to ever come back on. So.
Yeah.
But she told me the storm was pretty bad. Last night, she sent me a photo of her and my dad. It was a hilarious photo. So there's trees on one side of the house. So what they did is that's their bedroom is on the side of the house where the trees at. So they moved and they didn't sleep in their bedroom because it was away from the trees. They say it was thundering and lightning so much that it sounded like some of the trees were actually gonna fall.
That's smart, you know.
Yeah. My mom, she was like, I heard something. Something fell back there, a tree or something.
Yeah.
It was like the sound of the wind is woo, you know that loud noise.
Yeah.
What was that noise again? Say it again,
right there, Joe. That sound effect again. Oh, man. But, yeah, it's dangerous. Like, I have family there, too. We pray everyone's doing fine out there.
Yeah.
How about in Georgia?
Yeah.
How's that going? I know I heard it's going to Georgia, too, right?
Julie, how's it going in Georgia?
It's cool. The weather's cool. The weather's cool. We have the wind. The winds were high today. High winds. They were like shaking the car, and it was cool outside. It actually felt really good to me. Some points were good. So start off cool.
Well, you need to be careful.
Yeah.
You need to be careful, Tony.
Oh, yeah. I definitely do that. You know that.
Yeah. I heard that there's a possibility the hurricane, some of the aftereffects might come up your way in Georgia.
I don't know how far, but I think Savannah was expecting something. I don't know if they got it or not, but as far as...
It's looking bad.
Any of that. But
yeah.
Is it going to be another one, though, for them?
I remember growing up in Florida. So since I grew up in Florida, I remember hurricanes like the back of my hand.
Really?
And I remember every summer when the hurricanes would come, I was just like, you almost start getting used to them. The majority of my childhood memories of hurricanes was, I hope it's going to come here. And it always got sidetracked. And you just be such, you get some letdown.
It never happened.
You a child, a hurricane is like a celebrity. You want it to come so you can see it. And
wow.
It just never come. You find out, it didn't come. It didn't come to my town. It just missed it. You buy a hair.
Wow.
Man.
Wow.
But... Isn't it never been this bad in Florida, right? Like, it's usually mild, never this bad. I've never heard of it being this bad. I've seen videos.
I remember, I think it was back in 2007. I don't know. People out there in Radio Land, if you can find it. I remember I was there, and there was like 3 back-to-back hurricanes. And it literally rained for 3.5 weeks straight. And when I tell you the place flooded, it flooded to the point where, like, the interstate, you would see alligators on the interstate. Simply because it got up that high. So Joshua Smith just posted a comment. He said 2006, Hurricane Ivan. So
that's when you guys eat a lot of alligators, because you guys have them everywhere.
Ew.
They eat them, too, and they fry them.
I think my husband had some alligator before.
They offered me one. So I was like,
there was a total like three of them that were back to back. So it might have been Hurricane Ivan, but it was like two or three more of them, and they all hit. Like three hurricanes in 3 weeks or something like that. And I remember it rained so bad. And I remember because I was an engineer, and part of my jurisdiction was this place called Crane's Roost Lake. It's like a very upscale lake. And I remember that thing flooded. And it's just amazing. All the places you see lakes and stuff, the sea was flooded. So
yeah.
I was like, wow, this is really, really interesting to see all this stuff. It's like really, really interesting. Oh, yeah. But no, that being said, anybody out there in Florida who watching, y'all be careful, y'all be safe out there. You know what I'm saying? I've been watching a bunch of videos, a bunch of interesting news clips that's really, really caught my attention. I'm pretty sure it's caught y'all attention, too. But other than that, Tuli Raven Joe, what y'all got planned for us today?
We don't know. How do they name these hurricanes? I don't know how they name them. I've heard
I know the answer to that question because I was in school. And we asked that question and actually found out. You can Google it, but there's a hurricane center place that literally names all the hurricanes for like the next 5, 6, 7 years out.
That's
they select the names. Oh yeah.
I thought it was different. I thought that it was that whoever discovers this hurricane and whoever works in the weather industry, they name it after that person.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me Google that.
Yeah, let's Google it. That's what I thought. The people that work in the weather and they work in discovering hurricanes and all that, they name it after them. That's what I thought it was.
There is a hurricane committee at the United Nations World Meteorological Organization, WMO. Decides on a list of tropical storm names as a part of its annual meeting. So they have a meeting and they decide they get the names, I guess. Interesting.
Oh my goodness, this thing gets deep.
And they try to do it to, the names are familiar to a specific region. So.
This thing right here gets really, really deep. I just found a really, really interesting article. Oh my goodness. Aye. I don't know if y'all want to see this.
What is it saying?
So what it says is the World Meteorological Organization retires tropical cyclone's name and end the use of Greek alphabet.
Huh?
So I'm thinking that some of the names had some sort of Greek origin to it or something. I don't know.
So they stopped.
Interesting.
And this article came up on March 17th, 2021. Hurricane name.
What was the Greek names they used?
There's a list. Somebody in the comment section, if y'all can find that list. I remember because my teacher posted the actual list. They literally have a list of names for like, the next 3-4 years out. You know, and obviously it's alphabetical. You know, they start every year over with the alphabet, so everything is A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all that stuff. All the way further down, but there was literally a list.
Wow.
Interesting, right?
Very.
Oh yeah. So it's always some weird information and all that stuff out there. But here it is. I found the list.
Oh,
bam! Wow. Y'all ready to see a drum roll too? I need you to get a drum roll effect, okay?
La 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 la.
Hey. So here we go. The tropical cyclone's name is called the National Hurricane Center and Central Pacific Hurricane Center, whatever that is. But here are the names. Look, they make the list all the way from 2027. So 2022, and they all in alphabetical order. They go all the way down from A to W.
So this is the last one for 2022.
It'll be Walter. What's the name of the one? What's the name of the hurricane down in Florida?
Ian.
Ian.
I-A-N. Oh. I don't remember though, Fiona. I don't remember Hurricane Danielle. Hurricane Colin. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
So these are hurricanes all throughout the Atlantic. So you might only recall the ones that actually hit Florida or came up through Georgia. Well,
okay.
Remember, there was just one that hit Puerto Rico, if I'm not mistaken, right?
So maybe that was Hermine.
But they have a lot of, they have, keep in mind, too, these are cyclones, names of cyclones, so tropical cyclones. So technically, they have to get to a certain category before they consider a hurricane, per se. But as long as they're tropical depressions and stuff, these are still the names. So, too, maybe that's why you haven't heard of all the different names. Some of these, because some of them might have only made it to be a tropical depression and not quite a hurricane.
I got you.
So
okay.
That's how they get their names and all that stuff. Yeah, I think I remember hearing about Fiona.
Really?
Earlier this year. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So
and
her
main came
that
in Florida.
That's information.
That's from Florida.
That's good information to know, ain't it?
Oh.
That is good information to know. That's good information to know, indeed. Oh, my goodness. Look at these comments going off. These comments are really, really interesting.
What is this saying?
Well, I'll post one of them. One of them says that they have a set of list of names, and when they run out, they would name them after Greek alphabet. Danielle was within the last few months. So,
oh,
yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Valerie Clayton says that Fiona just passed.
Does she mean dad?
Yeah, I think, is that what she's talking about, a relative just passed?
Is her aunt Fiona, is that her aunt Fiona?
You know, it says that at first, the storms were exclusively given female names. Why? Why exclusively
you
female
know
names?
Why?
Now, I can answer that question for you, but I ain't touching.
That's what it says, look. At first, the storms were exclusively given female names, partly to continue the tradition in sailors, and then eventually they changed that. Why females? Why do they have to attack us like that?
Why do they have to attack females?
This is specifically the New York reported. This isn't an article saying that that's what they did exclusively.
And they
females.
Stopped that in 1978, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, exclusive, just exclusive. So in 1979, they included men's names.
Yeah, then they were like, all right, they are also storms, and
I mean, you know, hey.
How does that make y'all feel?
The people need to get informed a little bit more about.
That's not offensive to me. I mean, hey, some women can, you know, you can, we can take you down, take you out. That's true. Now we got that power, because it is.
Yep.
Some women are earthquakes.
Yes, sir. Quiet storms, them quiet storms. Yeah, now.
That's right.
Hey, I'm letting y'all all the talking. I'm letting y'all do all the talking and be.
You've gotten wiser. Look at that.
Yeah.
He said he's not gonna say any comment about this female situation. Either he's gotten wiser or somebody made him change his mind.
Hey.
Or.
Well, I mean.
Which is great.
Do y'all feel like it's an attack or something?
On us, no. I don't feel attacked.
No, not at all.
What do y'all feel about the whole women's liberation movement and all that stuff? Are you guys supportive of women?
What you mean? How
are you? Especially in particular women in leadership and politics?
Yep, support it.
You are? What about you, Resident Joe?
It all depends. I don't think I'm, like, supportive into a particular group of people. I think it's whoever is doing a good job. If it's a woman doing a great job, then okay. To me personally, as a president, I wouldn't want a woman president. I know a lot of people would attack me on that area, but I feel like women are a little bit more emotional than men. And when it comes to decision making, we do need a man to be like, all right, this is the decision we're making, rather than having those emotions and involving emotions into decision making. But when it comes to other areas like representing a state, why not? I feel like if you are doing a great job and you're smart, then go right ahead.
Ooh, well, since you brought that up, in terms of representing the state and all that stuff, they're doing a good job. I want you to take a look at this. Does anybody recognize this picture? And if you do recognize this picture, what does it mean to you? Oh, yeah, see, Resident Joe, Tuna, talk to me, Tuna.
What does it mean? Nothing. It means, I don't get anything.
For all those people who don't know, this is actually a picture of Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams, for y'all who don't know, she is running for the position of governor in the state of Georgia. She's running against the current governor, whose name is Brian Kemp. Isn't that right, Tula?
Correct.
So what she's trying to do is Stacey Abrams is trying to get, according to her, the black male vote to help support her so that she can win. The question is that she was recently in a town hall meeting and she had an opportunity to be asked questions. And one of the questions she talked about was reparations. And as an exclusive, to, right here only on Two Mics and a Mind, we were actually able to get one of our own to do a sit-down with Stacey Abrams and ask her a question.
But you know you're not here, so why are we doing that?
Huh?
You know he's not on here.
I'm building up the hype.
But he's not here, though, Wayno. Come on.
He's coming. But before we get to that, Tuli, we must first talk about reparations, what it means, what it is, all that other good kind of stuff. So before we get into that conversation about reparations, I want people to really understand what reparations is, because the average one of us, we really don't understand what reparations is. So what I want to do with you guys, if you don't mind,
do we have anybody
I
waiting?
Want to share with y'all something really quick, and then I'm going to invite others on. I want you to call in to the show. I want you to do all that good stuff. As a matter of fact, before we even show that video, too, let's tell them what they need to do.
They need to hit the Cash App. Hit the Cash App.
Yeah.
And we thank you. We thank you.
Cash up.
Thank you in advance.
Yeah.
That's right.
Y'all make sure y'all hit
that. Like and subscribe.
That's what y'all got to do. I want y'all to take y'all time, and I want y'all to hit that doggone Cash up. That's what I want y'all to do.
Like and subscribe.
But what I want to do is I want to share with y'all something really, really interesting that I thought you might find a little interesting, too. So let's take a look.
Montana Google Shell Prize decade-long effort to ensure recognition of nominating to President Donald Trump's death. Today, the U.S. Senate sent a final approval to a major defense funding bill. It included Little Shell recognition as an amendment. The House passed the bill last week. Senators Steve Daines and John Tester and Congressman Greg Gianforte all worked for years to get the Little Shell's recognition through Congress. Once the bill becomes law, the tribe will be entitled to federal support and benefits through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Indian Health Service, and other agencies. Tribal Chairman Gerald Gray said he's thankful this effort is finally moving forward.
It's an exciting day because, one, our future generations won't have to take up this battle that we've been fighting for so long. It's truly amazing, and we're very excited and very, very appreciative to our delegation.
Daines and Tester say once the president signs the bill, they want the federal government to quickly start working with the Little Shell to make sure they're treated like any other tribe.
Ooh, so what I want to do
the back end of the eyeball.
Is before we go any further, I want to explain the Little Shell Tribe and what is the Little Shell Tribe. Anybody familiar with the Little Shell Tribe before we go on further?
No, I'm not. Mm-hmm.
So for y'all who don't understand who the Little Shell Tribe is, the Little Shell Tribe, and this is me in my own little way of saying it, the Little Shell Tribe is a group of white people who decided that they want to start their own clan, their own tribe, and label themselves as being indigenous so that they can therefore make themselves distinct from the common American citizens, and they can therefore qualify for reparations and federal recognition so that they can gather their own money and be funded and backed to go and develop their own food, their own culture, their own crops, their own education system and all this stuff. And they label themselves as being the Little Shell Tribe. So in that particular video, you have these white people saying, hey, they're actually trying to get a bill at this point in time for President Trump. They're trying to get a bill for President Trump to acknowledge them and give them recognition to be their own people. So the question now becomes, were they able to make it to see Donald Trump? I'm going to pause it right there. Ladies and gentlemen, that are the members of the Little Shell tribe.
They
as
made
you
it.
Can see, those are the members of the Little Shell tribe. Again, does any of those people look Indian to you?
Indian?
That is the Little Shell tribe. Those are the white men who got together and formed their own tribe, labeled as the Little Shell tribe. And as you've seen, they had it all the way before President Donald Trump, who, when you see President Donald Trump, he's actually signing the document for him.
Are you serious?
What is on the dirt? What is the logo?
That makes... Okay, I don't even know why I'm
talking about it. Tribal flag.
Again, those are more people of the white people that formed their own tribe. I want you to read that. Can you guys see what that says at the bottom of the screen?
Mm-hmm.
What that says at the bottom of the screen, it says, back home in Montana, the Little Shell tribe was celebrating. A proclamation was issued in the tribe's honor, and the tribal flag was raised at the state capitol in Helena, Montana, on Friday, December 20th, 2019. So literally, December 2019, you have these people who were just awarded reparations. Understand that. You have these people who were awarded reparations. This is not anything that I'm showing y'all as an article. This is something that you're legal. You're actually seeing. It's important that you guys see this. It's important that you see the politician who's the president signing this, because this is what I refer to as legislative racism. There's actually laws and policies that are put in place to explore a little bit more to show you the advantages that have been given. So oftentimes, before you even get to the point of reparations, you got to understand exactly what it is that you're playing against. So in this particular case, we're playing against, we're playing something, and they didn't call it reparations. They called it recognition.
Right.
They called it Little Shell Tribe Recognition. So think about the play on words.
Yeah.
So we have a topic called reparations, but then we have people who just got awarded federal recognition. And this is back from December 2019. So what actually ends up happening now at that particular point is you got to think, we just saw a clip of the President of the United States back in 2019 going ahead and awarding reparations, I'm sorry, recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Could he have possibly been the only president to ever do so? I don't know. Let's take a look.
Thank you all very much. Members of Congress and distinguished guests, my fellow Americans, we gather here today to right a grave wrong. More than 2 years ago, shortly after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, 120,000 persons of Japanese ancestry living in the United States were forcibly removed from their homes and placed in makeshift internment camps. This action was taken without trial, without jury. It was based solely on race, for these 120,000 were Americans of Japanese descent. Yes, the nation was then at war, struggling for its survival, and it's not for us today to pass judgment upon those who may have made mistakes while engaged in that great struggle. Yet we must recognize that the internment of Japanese Americans was just that, a mistake. For throughout the war, Japanese Americans in the tens of thousands remained utterly loyal to the United States. Indeed, scores of Japanese Americans volunteered for our armed forces, many stepping forward in the internment camps themselves. The 442nd Regimental Combat Team, made up entirely of Japanese Americans, served with immense distinction to defend this nation, their nation. Yet back at home, the soldiers' families were being denied the very freedom for which so many of the soldiers themselves were laying down their lives. Congressman Norman Mineta, with us today, was 10 years old when his family was interned. In the congressman's words, "My own family was sent first to Santa Anita Racetrack. We showered in the horse paddocks. Some families lived in converted stables, others in hastily thrown together barracks. We were then moved to Heart Mountain, Wyoming, where our entire family lived in one small room of a rude tar paper barrack. Like so many tens of thousands of others, the members of the Mineta family lived in those conditions not for a matter of weeks or months, but for 3 long years. The legislation that I am about to sign for a restitution payment to each of the 60,000 survivors.
I want y'all to understand that. Did you just hear him say, he literally just said,
a reparation
payment. What he's about to sign is he's going to give them restitution, and he's going to award them restitution.
Right.
As you listen to their story sounds so similar to the people who got this same color skin color. Did you hear about, he was talking about literally, there were people that were actually going and they were going to war as Japanese Americans in the United States military, but when they would come back, they were getting mistreated and abused. They didn't have the freedom, and now he's going to give them compensation. Think of this. I want you to see what it says. It says at the top of the screen, it says the internment compensation bill. So now we got to play on words. We got another play on words. The play on words that we have is we have federal recognition that was granted, and now we have compensation bill that was actually given. So you guys got to keep in mind when you think about this terminology, because we're just talking about reparations. Before we get into reparations, I just want to elaborate on the history. So now that I've shown you two different stories. One story is about the Little Shell tribe that was getting reparations. The next story that I was giving you was about the Japanese internment, and that was President Ronald Reagan who signed the bill. So again, this is more and more legislative. This isn't just people with opinion. These are actually politicians that are actually putting things into play. It's important that we all understand this. But here's one more thing I want to leave you with. If you recognize this lady right here, her name is Hillary Clinton. We got receipts today. We ain't just talking today. We got receipts. We want to hear what these people out here are saying. That being said, let's see what it is that the one, the only Hillary Clinton has to say.
Mrs. Clinton, you were recently honored by the World Jewish Congress for your efforts to help Jewish victims of the Holocaust, many of whom worked in slave labor camps during World War II, and you helped them to get reparations from Switzerland, Germany, and many other countries. My question is, are you now willing to help African Americans, whose ancestors were slaves here in the United States, get reparations from our country for their years of slavery? Marsha, I was very honored.
Before I even get into her response, as you can see, the woman asked the question has already told how she was able to get reparations for the Jews and all these other people in the Holocaust, that Hillary Clinton played a critical role in the passing legislation for that. The question that she asked now is the question about what are you going to do for black people? Do we really need to play the rest of that tape and hear what her answer is about what she's going to do for black people? Is that really necessary, too? Is that really necessary, Resident Joe?
I mean, you interrupted it. Is it? We were listening.
Did she do anything? Because this was a while ago.
I mean, you brought
her.
Yeah.
Are you guys now?
Play it.
All right. 1 second. Let's go ahead and let's add it.
To be one of the people mentioned and given an honor by the World Jewish Congress for the work. That although mine was a minor role, the work that led to the recovery of those assets, that was an important piece of history that had to be put to rest. And on issues of reparations with respect to African Americans, Native Americans, we have some mental and emotional and psychological reparations to pay first. We have to admit that we haven't always treated the people in our own country fairly. We have some issues that we have to address when it comes to racial justice right now. So I'm willing to work hard to be a strong advocate for civil rights and human rights here at home and around the world. I want to do everything I can to make sure that the programs and policies that help generations of African Americans have a better life in this country continue. I think we should be focused on the present and on the future. I was very moved when I visited Gori Island twice, first on my own with my daughter and then with my husband. And we do owe.
I'm stopping right there because what she does something known as talk around the question. And they're really, really good at talking around the question.
Hmm.
What I was just doing is we just have Tony joining in on the chat. And Tony, what we're talking about is we're talking about reparations. One thing that we talked about that we know in the past week or so, you actually had the opportunity to pose this question to Stacey Abrams. You mind sharing with the audience what was her particular response?
As always, a politician always be a politician and not a real actual person that feel like they're a victim and there's a real recourse or a reason for a recourse. In order to get those positions to even run on a major scale like a governor, a president, vice president, you have to really buy into the narrative and you have to sell to your own people that reparations is not financial restitution, but yet with everyone else is always financial restitution with an apology. Apology with no financial indentment against them doesn't do anything for us. It's just all just wordplay. And that's basically what she said. She did claim that she did have something on her website, which if you could pull it up, saying that she did put on there that she was for reparations at the very end. That's what she said. I've never, you know, actually viewed her website. I'm not sold on the policy agenda itself. And as you were saying, you know, typically with these people, it's the same thing. Everyone else gets the money. People of color, we get the language. We get the abuse. You know, to hear about somebody getting reparation from 1940-something when it was in slave labor camps, that's what we in 2022. So when do we have, I guess the reason why we've never gotten reparation, which will make sense, is the fact that we've never been released from slavery.
Correct.
I think the first thing is to free ourselves, and then we can sit down and talk about restitution. So I see you put up Stacey's website. Do you see anything on there about reparations?
I'm looking.
No, sir. Maybe if I read, let's try clicking on read Stacey's story.
I don't see it under her points of her talking points of her, you know, what
nope.
She plans to do. I don't see it on here, but, I mean, I could be wrong.
We talked about how she's helped small businesses. She's paid off medical debt. She's raised funds for families in need. Helped expand the COVID-19 tech. A lot of stuff, but on none of this stuff do I see reparations. I just don't see it, Tony. I don't see it, Tulip. I don't see it at all, Resident Joe. No matter wherever I look, I just don't see what it is they're talking about reparations. But again, we haven't even got down to the topic of what reparations is. Right now, all we just did is we just explored just a couple little things in terms of how people are actually the little shell tribe, how they're getting it. They don't call it reparation. They call it, Tulip, what's that word again they call it, Tulip? Recognition. And how the Japanese Americans, they didn't get reparations. They called it compensation bill that was signed by the one and the only President Ronald Reagan. So let's hear some more things that I want to share with you. One more story. Let's see if there's anyone else out here that could possibly maybe be receiving quote unquote reparations. And if so, what do they refer to it as? Let's take a look.
Minimum income. Thomas Paine was for it at the founding of the country. This is a very American idea. So it seems far out to us now that, hey, we should just have a dividend where everyone gets $1,000 a month. But we've been talking about this for decades, and it came this close to being law in 1971. It actually passed the House of Representatives twice under Richard Nixon. Milton Friedman and 1,000 economists signed a study saying this would be great for America. And then one state has had a dividend for 37 years where everyone in that state gets between $1,000 and $2,000 a year, no questions asked.
What state is it?
That's Alaska.
Really?
Yeah, you go to Alaska right now, you live there for a year, and everyone in your family gets between $1,000 and $2,000 a year from the petroleum dividend.
Mm-hmm.
It was passed 37 years ago by a Republican governor, and Alaska's a deep red state. This Republican governor shows up, 1982.
So before I go any further, what this gentleman just said, for those of you who don't know, this is politician, president, candidate Andrew Yang.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually running for a president, to be the president back in this last election. He was running against Joe Biden, but he was also running for the Democratic Party also. What Andrew Yang was actually telling people, he was telling people saying, hey, you know what? There's actually other people right now that are getting, he referred to it as dividends. And he referred to the people who live in Alaska. They're actually getting dividends off the land that was stripped away from them and given back. The government is not paying them dividends on that land because it was found out that land that they have in Alaska actually had oil and petroleum on it. And he even says right now, as you heard what he's saying in the video, if you were to move to Alaska right now and live there for a year, you would be entitled to those reparations, I'm sorry, dividends. So it's a lot of stuff going on right now where people must really understand that, hey, before you understand and broach the topic of reparations, you need to understand who are already being compensated, who are already being recognized, who are already being given dividends before you even start to oppose what reparations actually is, really is. Talk to us. Say your opinion.
Well, I think first, the first step, I think a lot of that has to do with us even being recognized as man, as a human. So I don't think they owe us. They think they don't owe us anything because, you know, we're not even equal as far as being men and women. So that's not even on the books as us black people recognized as being, you know, men and women. So that's a good start. I think they can use that for justification.
Resident Joe, Tony, any comments?
I feel like I always hear, I don't think things are ever going to change. I think it has to come within the community to start changing and making their own groups in order to change. I feel like this is politics. I don't think the world would ever, there's people that control, so I don't think things are going. This is just my opinion. I don't think things will change as much as we would want it to change or people protest. There's people. I feel that it has to start within some type of group doing changes, but maybe somebody does bring a change one day. I don't know.
Interesting. You know what? We have a caller in the queue. Is it okay if I could bring that caller in momentarily? Let's see what the caller has to say about this particular topic.
Hey. How's it going?
Great. How about for you?
Welcome.
Hey,
welcome,
Miss Tony. Good
to see you again.
Dr. Joe.
How's it going?
Hello.
What's going on,
my friend?
That's a terrible
Like to begin with, thank you for having me on. A lot has been said in the short time that we've had. Can you guys hear me pretty good?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to start out with addressing the hurricane. Which was when I came into the conversation. I remember recall it was either in 1979 or either 1980, if I'm not mistaken. Hurricane David, me being the native of the state of Florida, the first male hurricane that I can recall is Hurricane David, I believe in 1979 or the early 80s. And then the most recent male hurricane that I think we should all remember that did some a lot of damage was Hurricane Andrew in South Florida.
And Hugo. Don't forget Hugo.
So, and as far as the naming of the hurricanes, they are typically female oriented and they have Greek connotations to them. Then moving forward to the issue of the reparations, the recognition, the dividends, and the compensation.
All right. Rolls up, Confederate. You mind repeating yourself?
I think he's frozen.
Your reception's bad, Confederate. What we're going to do, we're going to briefly remove you from the chat. If you can call back in, I definitely want to hear what you're saying. It sounds like you were about to say something very profound, so if you can give us a call back, that would be
awesome. I'm just waiting to get back in. What's the rule, host? That joke that rule. I want to get you on the show and hang
his
you
on. His call dropped. His whole call dropped.
Yeah, they dropped. Well, his
phone
dropped. Well, that's different. You didn't remove him. That's
now,
a different conversation with
he's joined, now he's joining back to the screen. Let me wait again to add him. His screen's still white. Let's see. Hey, are you back now?
Hey, there. You gonna do it right here? Okay, hold on 1 second. I'll be right with you.
We do. We could. If there's no control there, we don't acknowledge it, but we could control those things.
Listen, it can be controlled. A woman don't want to be controlled.
Fact.
A woman has to really be. You have to be very strong-willed man. You have to be very dominant to keep a woman and hold her in a certain. What do you mean, hold me? I mean, to keep a woman to say, listen, this is the temperament a woman needs to have. This is the behavior of a woman, and this that's a hard thing to do. A lot of women don't do well with that.
You know what, Tony?
They'll feel like
they to be that way?
Yes. that's been her temperament since she's been here. They'll play innocent to it and act like, you know, it's not, and no, I don't want it. That's not true. They do. It's always a little act like they don't want to, but that's just how a woman is. You have to just understand it. That's her nature. Ain't you always got those exceptions, without a doubt. We all know that. It's not every woman. But as on a sentence of a lot of times, yeah. It's very seldom you're gonna find a group of women together that have a mindset of we're the women that's looking to follow to help a man the mother. A lot of times when you'll get women that will do that, it'll be women that be behind the wrong men. Men that abuse them, men that don't take care of them, men that's not responsible, men that cheat on them. They'll get behind them. They'll support them. A man that's a drunk, a man that cheat on them, a man that lies to them, they will do everything and go out the way for them. A man that'll do for them, that's trustworthy, and that'll do, they will try to run him over. They will try to milk him. They will try to destroy him and pull him down. They'll pull, you know, it is. That's the nature of a woman.
You know what?
Again, it's not every one of them, but they have one.
Because you're dropping some jewels right now. In your opinion, is it really you? What's the point for a man to get married these days? Is it really the purpose of him doing that? What's the reward of him doing that?
I'll be honest with you. To do that now is almost crazy if you don't have if y'all don't have a guideline set before and a woman understanding the role of, no more, and I would say the same thing to a woman, man. A man, he would have to understand the role of, but typically everybody today, it's penis and vagina. The penis and vagina have, you know, messed up the whole quorum of what marriage is about. You know, being that person, somebody to count on, then, you know, you can actually have confidence in, you're with somebody, you can 100% depend on them to do their part. It's a rarity. You know, it almost exists. The typical marriage, you have one producing partner and the other one will be the failure. The one will carry the other. I refuse to be a man that my wife will have to carry me, my role, or, you know, do, you know, what I look at as being, you know, a man's role. I'm old school. You know, a man role is what it is. If you don't want to be it, I'll never complain about my role. That's what I do. That's what I'm responsible for. And I like being a man, 100,000% man, and knowing that I'm someone that's going to get it done. If I say it's going to be done, you can count on it. She don't have to worry about it. She got a bus up behind it last month. Last minute to come up with it. I don't play like, man, well, I don't even bother my wife with bills behind or whatever because I don't want her to be upset. So I don't even tell about it. I don't want my wife to get stressed out, which is the dumbest, stupidest, retarded thing I've ever heard. How about don't stress her out by just paying it? Facts. You know, I hear men say the dumbest, stupidest, ignorantest, brainless stuff I ever heard in my life. Tuda can go through any bills we got at any time she wants to, in any account I have, there's not a zero balance. There's not anything outstanding. Then it be cut off, eviction notice. It's like, why would I do that? That's mean. Taking care of me, take care of her is me doing my job. I like being me. I like being responsible. And as a man, you know, to the best of my ability, if I fell down, couldn't work, got hurt, whatever, I know the tutor will pick up, go do it. Great. And I make sure I keep that off her back, but I know without a doubt, I would not be on the ground, and she'll be somewhere talking about what we going to do, get up, trying to drag me out the door to a car. She's going to jump up. She's going to use her head. She's going to put things together. She's going to jump on top of things to make sure it's done. That's what we're supposed to do.
That's
right. Well, unfortunately, today, women today look at a man, you know, you going to pay my bills. You know, you ain't getting none unless you buy bills. I mean, if that's what you'll do, you'll give up your body for money. You're no different than a prostitute versus I'd give myself up to a man if I was a woman. If you can meet the protocol of being a man, not just pay no bills, you know, be somebody I can put confidence in, a leadership, a decision maker, somebody that can foresee, somebody that plans. You know, all these things are important being a man, and I stress that. You know, so when I say about a woman and how today it's so hard to find a woman, to find a woman, I ain't going to say good woman. It's only two. A woman and nothing.
Mm-hmm.
A man or nothing. There's not a good man and a bad man. There's not either he's a man or he's nothing. Either she is a woman or she's nothing. We have to stop putting these people in these categories as though you're one, you're just not a performing one. No, all of these are the criteria of being a man. These are the definitions of a man.
Right.
Like, then in order for a phrase to be a sentence, there are punctuations that had to be. Am I correct?
Yep.
Correct.
So if it's not punctuated correct, it's not a sentence.
Right.
right on.
Okay, they're saying it's not, it's an incorrect sentence, which basically means it's not a sentence. So either you are a man or you're not a man. Either you are a woman or you're not a woman. And once we put things to that, put it to that type of dynamics, we change what people keep trying to skate around.
100%.
Hey, that's 100%. No. Real quick, I know that Julie, your microphone is muted, but you did say that you have a caller online, and you also sent over an article. Did you have that
exactly.
caller online? They read for that article, and also got Confederate 48 lined up.
Oh, yeah,
to pick up where he left off, too. Tony hit on some really good stuff.
What are we doing first? You want to do my call?
Is your call still available?
Yes. All right. Let's see.
We got Confederate.
Also, smoke him. Keep it calm.
All right, caller, can you hear us?
You're on mute. He on mute. Confederate 48 is on mute.
Smitty, if your caller is
yes.
unable to...
Caller, can you hear us?
How y'all doing?
Okay. You have a
okay.
phone number, Love Doctor?
Go ahead, I can hear him, yeah.
You can
well,
hear
anyway,
him.
Let
okay.
me say this. The gentleman that was making the comments earlier about playing those clips, it's kind of misconstrued in what was being said there. One of the reasons why I come to Japanese American, that's the key word that people skip over. They was Americans. And they was Americans that came under federal action without giving due process. So that can happen to anyone. The 14th Amendment says you have to have received due process, what they call quantitative, well, I'm sorry, procedural due process. In other words, you're supposed to be heard by a court and all those things. I think it's the 5th Amendment says that you have substantive due process. That is, if they're going to take your land and need your land, that they got to pay you what that land is worth. Indians were considered in the Constitution as sovereign nations, not as regular people in the country. That's in Article 1. It's in another article I can't mention right now. Indian had slaves. Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation only applied to those slaves who had escaped to the Union lines. They became known as contraband. And he could issue an order to release the contraband. Those that was in other states, he had no authority over. And he had no authority over the Indians' holdings of slaves or property because they didn't release theirs until 1866. And the reason why they released them is simple. They said, if you want us to release our property, you got to pay us for it, which the United States done. And actually, the last payment of $300,000-some-odd went to one tribe there in the 50s. So people are forgetting that. They don't even mention that. I guess they don't know that is the case. And did you know that back in 1878, you had a black judge, Supreme Court justice by the name of Jesse Franklin? He was a Creek Indian. Much of the land in Oklahoma was Creek land, and nobody owns that land. And when they had those allotments, they'd be given to give away 160 acres, but you don't own it, you only lease it. You made a statement on something else. I can't remember what it is, but I don't know what it was. And in reparation, you talk about Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams is not a federal elected official. She would be a governor of Georgia. The state legislature controlled the state of Georgia. They are the Democratic elected representatives. If they don't want something, it's not going to happen. So that started to get back down to the people, where the people are supposed to control their state legislature, the state or countries. The countries, they supposed to control the federal government. because the federal government is completely out of control. Now, on Alaska, if you're a citizen of Alaska, because of their oil revenue, they divide that up amongst the population of Alaska. But since Joe Biden just came in and stopped oil production, I don't know where they stand. And you know another thing, too, if you stay on a coastal area like South Carolina, North Carolina, Louisiana, and if there's all exploration going on within your boundaries all the way out to international waters, well, that state should also receive revenue just like the citizens in Alaska. But you got to get the federal government out of them. They shouldn't be in it because the Constitution don't allow them to have that. The Constitution don't even allow the federal government to own land. The only land that's mentioned in the Constitution is forts. You remember the old TV series, F Troop? Well, those were forts that when the progress going out to the west, they would send soldiers, and they would set up encampments, forts, to fight the Indians. And real quick, one of the reasons why Japan didn't come and invade the United States, and because they said that behind every blade of grass, there's a weapon, because United States citizens are heavily arm. But to intern the Japanese at that time in history was the right thing to do, because if you're fighting a nation, then you don't want that nation with its citizens in the country, because they all blood is always thicker than water, to establish a fifth colony and be fighting you from within. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Hey, is that
Pianchi?
The voice sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Is that
Pianchi?
That sounds.
Yeah, that's
Pianchi. Hey,
glad to hear from you, too. I hope you're not down south where you're going to get
right.
Blown away to Oz.
No. Are you down south, love doctor, he said?
I hope you're not down in Florida where you get blown away to Oz with that hurricane. Yeah, be careful.
Is that what he asked me?
He asked you about that ugly sweater.
Oh, man, listen, man.
Is it, did you get it from down south of the toilet?
Bianchi, well, first thing I want to tell you,
it's a pee.
No, I'm not in the, no, I'm not a part of the hurricane. No, I'm not down south in the hurricane, Bianchi. But I also want to encourage you, too. You can call in and also check out our YouTube, Bianchi, because I know you've been a long-time listener. And we definitely appreciate your support. You can actually follow us now on YouTube, where you can come over to the YouTube side. You can actually put a name with the faces and actually get to see us. And maybe you can even join us via video chat one day.
Well, I've gotten older, but I'm still handsome. So I turn women heads every now and then. All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you, buddy.
Take care.
Right. Yeah. We had our, but what he was saying about her not being official, I agree, which is true. I mean, a federal, but there are things on the state level. My whole thing was just find out where was her head. I think the Abraham Lincoln would get the governorship and then the president, then to the president. I know what her drive is for why she's doing what she's doing, you know, to get that position. When made it come to say, you know, I think she served in the House as a representative, but then to be able to start serving as the governor of a state, which is equivalent to a president. Because the governor, as you know, he stays in a big house just like the president. His wife is the first lady. He has a military because these are actually countries. People tell us they're states, but they're countries. There's no state and no other place that, you know, have a separate head of their own military. Putin has the military. The military is the military of the whole entire country. The United States is the only place that give governors a military, which they're called the National Guard. So there are things on a state level. I think... was that Indiana passed reparations for people of color. Things back here a couple of years ago before COVID. So it wasn't monetarily, but states can, you know, actually do that. And, you know, like he was saying, the representatives, but I'm a believing proponent of people of color. At this point, as long as we've been here and we've argued and we've fought with them about it, it shouldn't be a fight anymore. I'm for a separation where we govern ourselves and, you know, and quote unquote, everyone else could stay. And I think every nation, I think every people should have a governing power for itself. You know, even when they have rulers in other countries like Gaddafi was in, what, Libya? Libya has other tribes. It's composed of at least about 124 tribes, and those tribes all, you know, kind of deal within themselves, and those tribes all, you know, try to, you know, get themselves in an electoral system where they can have an in or a say to, for the betterment of their people. We're the only people that's not recognized as a people. That's why we don't get the, whether you give it a different name title, we don't ever get the entitlement that is due to us based on, you know, how we've been victimized, and we're still victims of America. At this point, for let's separate and let's do business. Because business is business, trade is trade. With China and Russia, that's still business. Russia is where we get 5G from. Mm. China, TikTok, I mean, China controls a lot of our stuff that comes in. But they can argue and fight without cutting off the business. I'm saying let's stop the fighting and let's do business. So I'm proposing a better opportunity chance. And it will give a chance for the so-called Negro to establish himself and see what he can do. Everything we've done so far has always been controlled and handled by a white governing hand. If a so-called, quote-unquote, Negro, so-called Negro excels in something, he decides he wants to stop, like Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby had committed a crime. He then the only thing he did, it was morally completely wrong and rotten that he cheated on his wife and that he did what he did, or even giving the women drugs and knocking them out. But he hadn't committed a crime by America's rules, and there was a statute of limitation. But it shows you they can go back and reconfigure and create whatever they want at their liberties, because rape statutory limitation, I think it's like 4 years or something. And the fact that they could go back and prosecute him for something that happened in the '70s, surely, hopefully, he had changed by then. Mm. But you know, it's just the fact of, you know, this man went to prison because a woman said, I was in his bedroom with his, you know, him and his wife's bedroom. Let me see, first of all, right or wrong? Wrong. So we were sitting on his wife, his and his wife's bed. Wrong. We were drinking wine, sitting on him and his wife's bed, and him and his wife's bedroom. Where were we going with this? Now, we were walking down the street, and we walked in the store. I had a drink. I went to the bathroom. I came back to drink my drink. I was knocked out.
Uh-huh.
There was no intention of being with this man sexually. There was nothing, you know, at all sexual verbiage about it. It was just a common sit down somewhere. We're in the bedroom, sitting on the bed, drinking wine. Where is this going? You know, it's, you know, but when they get ready, that's the bad part that hurt women. The fact that, you know, females will claim to be a woman, but they will do things that is immorally wrong. You know, they know, and you got, and you ladies can vouch for, a woman know if there's going to be sex tonight.
Absolutely.
The man is hoping for it. She knows. Before she leave, before she go, I'm giving it up or not. She knows.
Correct.
I control it. He can think, okay, I'm going to get over here. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to get her to do this. She'll drink because she knows this is where I want to go. She said, hey, you want something to drink? She said, no, thank you. Because she's already decided she ain't doing it.
Correct.
She ain't getting no enhancers.
Right.
So she controls it. He's hoping to put the thing together, to move together for sex. She controls that matter. So she knew what she was doing, and women do that, and the fact that they can go to an old Me Too movement, this, you know, it's just the great women that have character and, you know, that carry themselves in that fashion, that do what they do, you know what I'm saying, to earn that title and carry it well. Hats off, kudos to every one of you that do. But it's the shamefulness of women, you know, want to be women, to go and stoop to this level and make it about a dollar, and you know, different than, I mean, it's more respect to a prostitute. She'll never take a man's, a John's money and go holler and rape. She'll let, he paid for the service, I gave him the service. That's all it was. But to say, hey, I let him into this because I knew he was weak, I knew he would think and he would get aroused, and I knew I'm just a payday. I'm finna get paid. And now it changed the whole dynamic of a relationship, because a man has to be careful. Most of them are not smart enough to realize it, and especially if you have something, it's so easy for them to put you in a situation and say, rape. I mean, it ain't got, listen, a woman can get a lawsuit and say, he mentally abused me.
Yeah.
This is this stuff. And that, now, there are men that do that. It's true. There are men that beat women down mentally. You ugly. You degrade them to where it breaks them in their spirit. But for a woman to say that, you know, just to use that manipulation, because, you know, there are women that have truly used that and they were victims that were proven, and, you know, it's real for them. But, to use that to say a man say one or two things, I'm mentally abused and now it's a lawsuit, or
yeah,
I'm part of Me Too. I mean, women who don't go for this foolishness should stand up. They should stand up. You know, women waiting on a man to brush up against them and lead them into that situation. Oh, you just touched me inappropriately and I'm a subordinate. You know what I'm saying? And you're a superior. Oh, I'm going to sue you in mental damage. This is a forced rape relationship that me and you have now for 15 years. And now I can't handle it no more and I'm broke down. And you finna walk off and this company finna pay you millions of dollars. I mean, the company shouldn't be responsible. Listen, if y'all work him and you want to bang, that's y'all. Don't drag us in it. We have nothing to do with you, who you bang. If we're responsible for who you bang, then we should be responsible for your sexuality at work. You cannot come to my job just like no hoe. You cannot come to my job acting like no female and you're a man. Because I'm responsible for your sexuality.
Mm.
Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Hit the cash out. Cash out. And the like button and subscribe. Also, tune in, get a chance. You had a vitamin this show. I want to make a video. I'm going to try to make it.
We got to get it together.
I just want to show y'all. Let me just share this right quick. This, I found this great, great holistic doctor. A lot of the members also have gone and tried them. And I've wrestled with my blood pressure for years. From working out, running, you know, I was running 2 miles, 13 minutes, 40 seconds. Then I do another half mile. I mean, running. Anybody know me will tell you, I can work out pretty decent. And I've taken dandelions. I've taken everything, hawthorn berries. I've taken raw garlic, black garlic, organic garlic, cinnamon, what I took, cayenne pepper. I've taken everything, bladder wax, pumpkin seed. I done took it all. And, I mean, none of that stuff. I'll be honest with you. If you got a simplistic case, yes, they are good herbs and good for a lot. But it doesn't do anything. If you're a person, I have aggressive high blood pressure. I'm telling you, mine is aggressive. It'll fight anything you throw at it. Nothing works. But I found some stuff that I want to make sure we show. I'm going to just get a collage and show y'all all the stuff I have that I was taking every day. I probably take about, 20 pills easy a day?
Wow.
Whoa, you taking that many pills?
Wow.
At least. I mean, yeah, that would get my blood pressure in the 90s. At the bottom, 120 over 80, what is it now, 118 over 70? But, you know, typically 120 over 80. I'm, you know, 132, 128 at the top. Over like 88, 85, somewhere in there. And I ain't starving myself. I eat pretty much what I want. Took out the breads. I don't do any breads. I probably ate something.
You don't eat. You took out the gluten and the sugar.
She put me on that regimen and put me on some stuff that I take every day. Tulin, I both take it. And it has really changed my life. I mean, my blood pressure has never been greater. And cycling off of the blood pressure pills at that also. And I just wanted people to know about it because I'm telling you, it makes a bit. I mean, even the salt. We even care. So we bought this salt. I don't know if you can see it. I don't have it open, but check it out. See it, the little granule. This salt actually comes from a plant. Tula and I said it. We believe in it so much. We cook with it. It's the only thing we cook with. This stuff comes from a plant in the ocean. It's better, healthier than any of that sea salt junk. Throw it in the trash. Pink Himalayan salt. I've taken all that stuff. Is that stuff will run you up. This stuff does not affect your blood pressure. What did I got in? You know, show the stuff. This comes directly from a plant in the ocean, all natural. And when you cook with it, does not affect your blood pressure. And the good thing when you do it, too, I mean, you don't taste a difference. I think you have you had my wife cooking with the new salt, Little Doctor?
Yes, sir.
Have you noticed the difference?
In the taste of the food I have, yeah.
Oh, really?
The taste of the food. But she still made it taste good. She cooks me a breakfast platter on her Shabbat. And she's been doing the salt. The green salt is what it's called, right? Green salt. She's been doing the green salt. And, yeah,
Actually, she incorporates into the mill pretty well. She does an awesome job of it.
Listen, y'all need to get it. We got another one that's a powder for your face. We can help out your youth and all this good stuff. Main thing, though, you brush your teeth with it, and it's good for killing gum diseases and different things. Mm-hmm. I go to the dentist, and Tula makes all our toothpaste. They try to give me fluoride, and I get saying, never. Only teeth I got missing my wisdom tooth, and they took them out on their own. They ain't one of them bad mouth jokers, but anyway, I use it, and I mean, listen, every time I go, they try to, listen, they're great dentistry. I don't use that stuff. I don't put no fluoride in my mouth. I don't take that junk. I don't use their toothpaste. And I don't, when they give it to me at the dentist, I keep the toothbrush and I throw their toothpaste in the garbage. So I don't want to poison nobody else with that stuff. I'm telling you, I don't know how people do it. I did that stuff. I mean, we clean up our diet. And the reason why I'm bringing it up, too, in order to get us to think differently, you
clean off. Sound like it's on is breaking up. Real quick, why it's phone is maybe.
We didn't hear you. We missed you. You said a difference in what?
You cut off a little bit.
Clean up your diet.
I was just saying, if you clean up your diet from, you know, the people that's been feeding you, it makes your mind clearer. A lot, look at everything you take, the stuff that you put in your hair. I mean, Smith may got a beard bum. I mean, she made the grease fire.
Everything.
A lot of things.
She made everything.
Everything.
People don't believe it.
She made everything.
Yeah. Agree on that and agree on how our home should be structured and what's important for our nation to grow and it continues to exist, then we agree with that. We put it down on paper. And when we put it down on paper, then we execute our plan. Well, we go and make formally known to them, this is how we will be governed. This is our plan for operation. This is our constitution. This is our rights, giving us our inalienable rights from our creator that you say you have from your creator, who I don't acknowledge. And you will acknowledge mine if you want me to acknowledge yours. This is how we will go. That is, we acknowledge everything they told you, they said come from God.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. When we were given slaves, you know, and it's written in the Sefer, we were told how to deal with them. If I took you to, if you were my slave, and if I lay with you, he said, as you lay with her cunningly, as you would lay with a woman, then you would have to take her for your wife. Mm-hmm. He lay with you cunningly, and he left you a slave, which is against the writings. He's never kept any writings. So now we have to come down and say, this is how we will govern ourselves and agree on this is for our existence. Now, at that point, we will sit down and we will have a conversation with them, letting them know what our plans of action are. It will also be with plan of action, too. We will defend this Constitution. We will defend this right to exist at any level and at all costs. But we'll come to you to let it be known to you, and we will look for you to be rational enough to say, you know what, I can respect that.
Right.
I'm not coming to saying all white people should die. I'm not coming to saying all white people should burn. We're not saying all white people should go to jail. It's just at this point we need to fix an internal problem we have among us. There needs to be a consensus, and there needs to be constructive. We need to construct a constitution. We need to construct laws. We need to construct, and if we do it right the first time, there'll be no need to amend it. But we'll leave that room for, if there's something we forgot or neglected, we will come back and add it. We won't say this is final, definite, no changes can be made. Because when we grow, we want our Constitution to grow with us. But still, God's problem is he doesn't want it to grow. He ignores it when he don't want to use it. And he uses it on us when it was given, you are. Always got to revert back to our state, slaves. I should be out of 34. I didn't mean to talk that long, but that's how.
Oh, man. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
We hear you great.
I mean, you know what, Ron Smith is saying that? I'm glad you did bring out all those points. And no need for the part in your speak because I binge watch you, so it's nothing to do with it. I hear you on a daily. So I'm quite familiar, you know, with your PowerPoints that you make. But back to what I was originally commenting on earlier was about the Love Doctor was stating about the reparations, the dividends, and the compensation. I wanted to begin by saying this. Before, you know, my phone interrupted me. In order for us to receive reparations, first of all, we have to be, as Ms. Tooley said, if we look at Section 2, Article 3 in the Constitution,
yep.
We first have to realize that we need to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, the small-scale tribes,
yeah.
They can get reparations because they're recognized.
Right.
You don't get reparations for not being even recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't get compensation if you're not recognized, and you don't get a dividend, which is a portion of a sum, if you're not recognized. So we're fighting an uphill battle, just to say the least. Secondly, just some dry humor. Could you imagine a Hurricane Jezebel, as they would call it?
So basically,
Tyree Boone or whatever, our Confederate 48, we can't hear you. But basically, to add on to what you were saying in terms of being recognized and the importance of being recognized, what I want to do is I want to briefly show y'all some imagery. What I want to do is I want to share with y'all, this is something that happened under President Obama's administration. What I want to show y'all, I want to show y'all two different articles. It's more so not even the article, it's more so the actual photo. The first photo that I want to share with you guys is right here. This is the daughter of a man who was born a slave, just opened the first National Black Museum, and this is the photo right here. This right here, this particular woman, that image right there, she's actually the daughter. Her father was an actual slave, was born a slave. So this is the daughter of a man born a slave. She just opened the first National Black History Museum. So just take a look at this particular image. Her dad was a slave, and she opened, you know, the ribbon cutting ceremony for the first National Black History Museum. She doesn't own it. She just partook at this particular ribbon cutting opening ceremony for the first Black National History Museum. The daughter of a man who was born a slave.
Do you notice how light she is?
I have a problem with what you're saying.
Before you do comment, I want to show you, I'm doing a comparison.
Yeah.
Can I show you one more thing really quick before you commentary?
Go ahead.
All right, so the next thing I want to show you really quick is that is what was given. That's what President Obama actually gave to, you know, a woman whose father was born a slave. He let her, you know, cut the ribbon for the ribbon cutting ceremony.
Yeah, we got that. We there.
So the next picture that I want to show y'all, and this right here, where's this headline at? Give me one second. Here it is right here. What Obama did is he also, that same particular administration, he earmarked $12 million in reparations for Holocaust survivors.
Mm-hmm.
So on one hand, for the black lady whose father was born a slave, you know, she's doing the opening ceremony. She opened the first Black History Museum. For the Holocaust survivors, he earmarked $12 million in reparations. This is just one thing that he did. He did a lot more. And that's one of the imageries and things like that.
So do people know what that means? That means that he actually put aside the $12 million.
So that was just one of the many things. I was reading more and more what he did. He actually set aside a coalition for the Holocaust survivors.
Mm-hmm.
Where he set open a fund and a committee where they were to relegate and handle all the different transactions. I think it's a special convoy committee for the Holocaust survivors also. He established a lot of different things. He has a large portfolio for things that he's done for reparations for Holocaust survivors. This is just one that happened back in 2015, one of many. But go ahead, Tony, let's hear some of your commentary that you want to show on those pictures that I showed earlier.
Well, again, my thing was, I didn't see the difference between her and everybody else that's so-called black. The point of the matter is, everybody going black in America, quote-unquote black, are descendants of a slave. I mean, direct descendants. Because, I mean, my father was a slave. Your father was a slave. I'm a slave. You're a slave. Well, the sister, all slaves are a person being controlled by its oppressor. So it doesn't matter where we stay or what we do. They still control us. They're still our masters, you know, and until we finally decide that we're going to break away and say we're going to end slavery as a whole, then we all continue to produce children of, you know, children of who parents were slaves, children that are slaves. They control who limits them. We don't educate our own kids. The system do. This is how they get us. What we'll do is say, well, I'm taking my kids out of that government system. And, you know, that brainwashing system, I'm going to start educating them and homeschooling. Your homeschooling has to still meet their curriculum and their standards. So the child is still being taught the same thing that the slave, that the parent, who is the first slave of the child, has been taught and what's been done. But all the rules and laws that your kid will do in fear or break are their rules, not yours, theirs. None of your rules can land your kids in jail that you rent and put in your home. None of them. My kid won't do what I tell him. There's not a law in the book that says arrest the child if the child does not do what the parent do. Say it, if the child does not do what I tell the child to do, as a law enforcement of the government, who is the slave owner, tells them to do, then your child goes to jail. So everyone is a child of a slave, former slave, present slave. Our slavery is not, our connection to slavery is not these 200, 400 years ago. It's now. We're not, there's no black athlete that can come off that court and do what they want to do. Just like any other slave cannot walk off from no plantation when they get ready. You have a contract you are under, and the law will help me do it. I will take you to court, and this government law judge will rule in my favor against you. So there are laws that help her. They come out and say, do you know, this is stupid. This is stupid. You know, there's laws on the book they have for slavery. Are you retarded? All the laws are for slavery.
True.
And so when you go to jail, you are paying your debt to society. That's what they do. So, I mean, we got to stop. I think we get out, you know, thinking and saying stupid stuff. When I say stupid stuff, because we don't think of it like that. Like, I know what you were saying, but think about it. Wow, she was asking the daughter, her daddy was a slave. Your dad a slave. My dad a slave. Who controls their retirement? Who tell them when they can retire?
We are slaves.
And you can do it earlier. I won't give you a dime until you reach this age. I will penalize you for trying to be early. You're under contract. Go ahead.
Corey, now that you said that, I read something that reminded me of what you're saying today. What do you think about? It says there are more people enslaved around the world today than any other time in human history.
Wow.
Well,
thank
what
you.
Do you think about that?
Thank you. Elaborate on that. Go a little bit deeper,
Resident
Joe.
I've been saying it.
Well,
yeah, slavery now is mentally more than anything. So I think the world, there's more slavery now because there's more control without us even knowing because people are turning dumber, no offense to anyone, but it's just our intelligence is lowering. So, you know, at least in the past,
we don't think
of it they were smart, but now I feel like the slavery has arrived in other ways.
So,
what Tony's saying kind of brought that to mind.
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with that stat that you're talking about, and there's a woman, her name is Michelle Alexander. She's the author of a book called The New Jim Crow, and that particular comment that you're referring to, she actually coined that and quoted that, and there's a statistic on that. But what she, her statistic and her conclusion was, is there are literally now more black males incarcerated in America than there were throughout slavery.
Yeah, I
so
think
that's
I sent,
what she's talking about, yeah.
I think I sent you an article about Rikers. I kind of wanted to show that because minorities, which is black and Latinos, are being incarcerated. And it could be, we could call it modern slavery in jail system, but out here in the world, I believe, we're also being enslaved. Like Tony just explained. But yeah, and with that, that just recently came out.
Okay, I see there's a video attached to it. Do you want me to play that video?
I didn't see how long it was. I was reading that article today.
New
but with this,
images shed more light on stomach turning conditions at Rikers.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what?
So back in 2010, there was a teenager arrested. He was 16, supposedly wrongly accused for stealing a backpack, and he was there for 3 years just because the family didn't have $3,000 to bail him out.
That's the Khalid Broder story, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we talked about it. Yeah.
He suicide at 22, and I think that's
right.
How they're mentally destroying us in different ways. Like Tony said, in food, controlling us, putting our man and not only men, but mainly the men in jails, destroying men mentally. They're destroying us. So we're enslaved mentally.
And think about this on that. The women, because the wife, the mother, is in jail for her child and the wife with her husband the entire time. From the visitation, taking the phone calls, the stress of worried about them, you know, things
yes.
happening, getting down to see them, making sure the home is still being ran, making sure the kids still being taken care of. So you put the quote-unquote Negro man in jail or the brown man, you also incarcerate the family.
Okay.
That's right.
The truth that the child gets from the father is from behind. Yeah, but it's behind a glass. It's behind, you know, a computer screen mm-hmm. over a phone, you know, with telling them how much time they got. You know, because that is set up to destroy the home. Very few homes can still function while the husband is gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can show the pictures, Love Doctor, but if you guys see, these people are sleeping on top of poop, like crap, and a lot of them are committing suicide. And a lot of them are wrongly accused of things that the family just don't, or they did something minor, and families don't have $1,000 or $2,000 to bail them out.
You know what, Resident Joe, this reminds me of the story by, I think his name is Castile Vaughn. Did you hear about that one that just came out recently?
Yeah.
That right there, you guys familiar with that Castile Vaughn, too? Tony, too, you heard about that one?
No.
His story is similar to Charlie Tilson. He has a similar story in regards to the Charlie Tilson story or whatever. What I want to do, you guys send over some good articles. Dr. Joe, I can post more pictures if you like for me, too. And, Tuli, I also know that you posted a video.
I did.
In the private chat. Whenever you want me to pull that up. Then I can do it. I'm sorry, not a video.
Oh, article. Oh, no,
article.
It's okay. We're past that. I'm good on that.
Okay.
It's totally up to you, but I'm good.
Okay. Well, Dr. Joe just brought up a really good issue. It's sad, but it's something that continues to go on. It's really ridiculous. I've seen more pictures, Resident Joe. You want me to put up more pictures or more information? I've seen the story. I just scrolled across the story with Colleen.
I believe that video was showing pictures of how they're feeding them the worst of the worst. They're committing suicide inside the jail because it's so bad. But to me, what angers me is like, okay, if these people are pedophiles, if these people are killers, all right, it's fine. Put them in those conditions. But, man, that they were wrongly accused or, you know, they went and stole food because they didn't have money, that's the people that are in Rikers jail, if you really read the history of that jail. It's not really high. They don't have criminals there that you would think leave them there. So, to me, it's like, and as Tony said, they're separating our families. And, again, money issues, right? Cannot pay the bill with $1,000, $2,000. Like this police, $3,000 for supposedly stealing a backpack. It was so bad he killed himself at 22. After so many years, that's how bad it was. That's how mentally attacked this man are in this jail. Eventually, they commit suicide. So people are finally starting to speak about it, but I feel like people should be more aware. And it's mainly blacks and browns in this jail. So,
yeah, you're spot on. So two things. As you're talking, I was able to scroll over five more articles. I have the short video clip of the police rotor that you mentioned, and
mm-hmm.
I also seen a video of Castillo Vaughn. Did you want me to play any of that?
The conditions will be good if you show that.
All right. The one with the conditions, it shows the condition of Khalif Vaughn is what I'm looking at right now. So this right here, I'm about to share with you something really quick for Khalif. And where is it at? Thought I just had it. Yep, here it is. I found it.
The Department of Justice is now involved.
Oh, my gosh.
We have been covering this last week as it relates. Mr. Vaughn, Mr. Castillo Vaughn, who is a prisoner in an Alabama state prison, I want to remind you, get you caught up, and give you a background as to what's happening now. Here's some of the background. There's a man in the Alabama State Prison who is in this condition. Here it is. Look at it. You see that? You see that, right? That's not some prisoner of war. This is a man inside of an Alabama State Prison. Here's what he looked like before. Okay? I'm going to give you the background to this insanity. A South Alabama woman's pleading. She received photos of her brother showing him in dire medical distress in a state prison. 32-year-old Castelio Bond, looking well enough and healthy in that picture, which was taken July 24th. He's currently an inmate at Ellenmore Correctional Facility. He began serving a 20-year sentence in 2019 for multiple convictions of burglary.
Wow.
I mean.
So he's still alive and he looked like that?
He's still alive, correct?
I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's still alive. But could he?
You want to focus on stars? I ain't going to state prison. I've been in jail many times. I mean, that's almost virtually impossible they leave you like that. You're in a cell with somebody, nobody ain't saying nothing about them, no prison rubber. They don't need that kind of problem on them. They should let somebody sit. A lot of times these guys will put themselves on starvation. I mean, you want a role model citizen. And that's me saying as a man of color, you know, what they saying, multiple convictions, you cut it off. You can say, conviction don't have nothing to do with it. I want to know if it's rape. But
yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I don't care if you black, green, or white. If you raping women, I wouldn't feed you. I wouldn't give you nothing. And that just be what it is today. So I want to know, I need to hear what those convictions are. I don't believe in that. Somebody had raping babies, so what you going to say, I'm going to give him equal, fair treatment? I'm going to let him live and feed him and protect him? No. The bastard need the needle. The bastard need the gag. The bastard need the chair. You raping kids and when? No, I don't have no sympathy for you.
Can we play that one?
I heard him say he had multiple convictions. He had burglary and stop. Maybe you thought if we kept hearing him, we'll say, well, okay, it might make some sense why he
might
be sitting
there
starving. But I know sometimes you can starvate yourself. It'll make sense. You can deny medical treatment. You get bad enough, they're gonna take you out of there. But most prisoners ain't looking for the headline. Then you're looking at suits. But anyway, what was the rest of them convictions he had?
For this guy, I didn't.
You will be eligible again for parole consideration. Parole eligible in a state prison. 32-year-old Castelio Bond, looking well enough and healthy in that picture, which was taken July 24th. He's currently an inmate at Ellenmore Correctional Facility. He began serving a 20-year sentence in 2019 for multiple convictions for burglary and unlawful breaking and entering a vehicle. He was up for parole in June, but was denied. He will be eligible again for parole consideration June of 2027. Now, let's go back to these other pictures.
Okay. That's good. He doesn't know he's out there. I just make sure one no rape, no child raping them like that. But burglary, I mean, he was thieving. I don't see him not feeding him and doing that. Yes, sir. I see Confederate before they got something to say.
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, yeah. I've been having a lot of difficulty. Excuse me for that. But a lot of these prison suits that just ask you to privatize, and a lot of stuff goes unheard, only because, you know, they're private-owned prisons and not state-owned, and a lot of things can go unreported and unrecognized due to the investors of these prisons. And I feel a smell that when people commit heinous crimes such as rape, child molestation, they should be treated in such a manner that they want to literally end their own lives to do society a favor. Mm-hmm. However, when the so-called Negroes living under these deplorable conditions, it's nothing new because there's no different than living in a project. Living in subsidized housing, for the lack of a better term, because you see the conditions there. You're caged in. You have a warden at the guard have muggings and, you know, things of that nature in the community. And then you also have the slum lords that are not fixing appliances. There's no hot water, running water, things of that nature. So when sometimes for these individuals when they're incarcerated, they're actually better living conditions than when they were on the street. So just to say, you know, to say that is, you know, we're fighting from all fronts, and it's just us, and unfortunately for us, we're poorly educated, poorly, you know, given every resource there is. And that's like something for like that you had coined a while back, Rod Smith, when you said that they give us the worst of everything, but then they so-called give us the best of religion. And to your point, when we were talking about the reparations, I want to reiterate that we have to first be acknowledged. We have to first be recognized to get dividends, compensation, and reparations. So, like, they were advocating for the so-called Jew. What were they doing before 1948 when they established a land that obviously doesn't belong to them? So we everybody gets compensated and things of that nature except us. And they want to talk about giving emotional reparations. How is that so when you're gunning out young men and women down in the streets? You're raping them. They're pulled over. They're not given a fair chance to even go into a court of law that's a kangaroo court, to say the least. So, like I say, it's so refreshing to know that we have people such as you four that are giving prevalent information to this platform and to the culture that we can make changes, and no matter how minute it seems, you guys are doing something that you are actually doing, and with very little support. And I say little support because there should be more done supporting Too Much in the Mind. And with that being said, hit that like button, hit that subscription, hit that share, hit that cash out. And I thank you all tonight for having me on. I'm fortunate enough to have my 53rd birthday. And this is one of the highlights of my day, being able to be in the presence of so many people that are hard, such as you all. This is Confederate States 48 saying that we are hard, you all. You all call it love, but we are hard, you all. Miss Tule, President Joe, Love Doctor, Roy R. Smith, take us home.
Conversation off with, I see you doing wrong, we
we ain't gonna get nothing right. We start out with what I've done wrong, what I've come to realize, where I'm at now, and in order for us to exist, continue to exist, I mean, even the animal kingdom, it's a rule that someone has to lead. You know, there's not an animal kingdom where every animal makes the decision. If you're going to be in a group, someone has to lead. Mm-hmm. Everyone has the role they play, and it's for the existence and the purpose of. So we have to be willing to even demand and say, I'll consent to, I'll adjust to, and I'll change and I'll do for the existence of our people. Then we can really sit down and congregate and discuss with other nationalities and other groups on what we all need to do. But until we can all sit down as a group, I mean, there's not another ethnicity that doesn't have somewhere to root to. We have nowhere to, we got a root all the way across somewhere way back off that don't recognize. And it's, we so many different groups, so we don't know what group really we go back to and say, hey, I'm from here. How you doing, Mom? How you doing, Dad? Everyone has that. And that's a fear for us, and it hurt us, and you know, in us, you know, advancing. We don't need funding for school, funding for medicine. We need to fund ourselves to find out who we are, fix that problem. And then we can talk and fix everything else we got going on. But, you know, that's just me.
That's very, very true.
What y'all think?
I feel like people need to get out of that slavery, mental slavery, and work on themselves and work on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think every race ought to talk. Everybody ought to talk. Because you can't be a better for anybody else until you're better for yourself. That's what you say, you know. I'm trying to get my better half, or somebody might say, my wife is my better half, my husband my better half. Why aren't you better? Because they should be saying the same thing about you. Both of you should be better. You know, there should be no lessening to where you can go and how you can grow and where you can be. And we have to expand how we really see things. It's really hurt us. We in such, you know, disarray. Our answer not in his culture book. Our answer not in his religion, our answer is not in his governing. We have to get back to what really makes us tick so we can click and start getting things together. But I know I got to go. I know I got time winding down, bro. You know, again, I can't say enough. Everybody out there who don't feel like nobody loves them, listen, you are loved. You know, anybody that should do you mind, you tell them you always mind. Every Thursday right here on Two Mics and My Mind. Hey, if nobody else tells you they love, hey, we love you. And our language is called Heart. To the love, Dr. President Jones, take us home.
Yeah. We really do. We really do. All right, y'all. Coming together is the beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success.
Say that again.
Coming together is the beginning. Keeping together is progress, and working together is success.
Coming together, keeping together, working together.
There you go.
That's what it's all about.
Those are our steps.
That's all we need.
Yep.
Let's make success now.
Let's make success.
Finally, she said something that we didn't have to sit back and have to figure out what in the world did she just say?
Because you wore your thinking cap tonight.
Don't stop the swelling.
You wore your thinking cap. Thank you.
Blood red shirt on the green doodle green cap is really terrible.
That's
I just
want to
put that out there from the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of somebody's buka bottom. That sweater along with that pew green cap really hurt my eye. It's like my eyes want to vomit. I just can't get the right fluids to come out. So. Kind of stuck, kind of disarray right now. Anytime you want to get rid of sweaters, I mean, I'm going to be glad. Just wear a V-neck or something. Just do something. I mean, it's just ugly. What color is the sofa? And the wall is white.
Black.
It really shows the juice of the sweater.
White.
It really shows how much tomato juice that sweater is really made out of.
Wow.
For y'all who don't know,
I work the behind the scenes, the sound quality, the switching, the inviting guests in and out and all that stuff, and I have a lot of it's a lot back in the back.
We're about to take it. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. You do something better, I'll do something better. We'll be better together. Until next week, thank you. Good night.